Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be back here again. Amen. And that's always a blessing for me to be able to get to go back twice. Amen. And most places that don't happen too much. Amen. So I appreciate the privilege to be back here again and appreciate the Lord giving us another day to be alive and to serve Him. Amen. And nothing no greater. Amen. I appreciate that. And I just pray the Lord would help us tonight. Amen. And I know your pastor's asked us for a long time about preaching this message. And I feel like God give us the green light that that would be okay. Not that He told me what to do, but He is the pastor. And God gives Him leadership and direction. I believe in pastoral authority. Amen. And when I'm here, I'm under His authority, and whatever He wants, that's what we'll do. And I believe in that. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in the book of Luke, chapter number 15. And thank you for the volume. I need all I can get. Y'all pray for me. I'm not told too many people. I'm having a lot of trouble on my throat. And actually, the doctors told me last week not to even be preaching and not to even be talking. Amen. And amen. I told him, I said, well, I might as well not even be breathing. Amen. And so just pray the Lord to touch us. And I believe God is able. And Lord, it can touch us. And God can help us. Amen. And just trust Him with that. Boy, it make you think. Amen. And you think about, Lord, if you was to lose your voice and being called to preach. Amen. And just give you, loosen up a little bit here. Just think about a lot of things in life that I've wasted energy talking about and wasted voice, wasted my time fooling with. And I'd like to have all that back and then put me forward how many more years with a strong voice I've wasted. And you just pray God would help us. I know Brother Buster Mullins, I know he's had trouble with his. And they said I had a severe infection. And the one who sent me here, nose or throat doctor, they're thinking I may have polyps too. But just pray God to help us. Amen. And I just turned 40. I feel like that's old. Amen. But not as old as others. Amen. But I just appreciate the goodness of God. I'm this type of preacher. I just want to preach. Amen. And I just that way. But I appreciate and desire your prayers. Luke chapter number 15. And we find our place there. We're standing in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. And I've got this message in message form. Then I've got it in the form of a book. And I'm just trying to decide. Might take a little bit from both and do what God have us to do tonight. But I'll look at this tonight. I want to preach a message that God gave me about 2 years ago. And been pastoring 17 years. And you look around and you see so many people leaving. You see so many prodigal sons, so many prodigal daughters, prodigal friends, families, church members. And just, I mean, every family in here has probably got somebody that's related or somewhere that is a prodigal. And they've gone to the far country and going against their raising, going against everything that they've ever done. And I went home one day and the Holy Spirit just, I mean, as fast as I could write, God has given me a message. And I want to preach on the thought tonight before we read the text on when is it right to embrace a prodigal. When is it right to embrace a prodigal? And a lot of people have a lot of misconstrued ideas about how the Bible teaches how to deal with a prodigal. And a lot of people deal with a prodigal and end up being a prodigal. And you got to do it like God says, amen. The greatest chance you ever have of a prodigal coming back is for you to do it like God says do it. Amen. Let's just let us pray. We'll save our voice and read and just pray. Father, I do thank You for this day. And God, I do not take for granted, God, the privilege it is to be alive. I do not take for granted the privilege it is, God, to be able to talk and articulate, God, before these precious people tonight. Lord, You've allowed us to be here tonight, God, and we surely want to bloom where we're planted. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that You'd give Thy servant travel of mind and travel of heart. And I recognize, God, that everything that's done here tonight, God, is not solely upon my shoulders. But God, much, Lord, lays upon the shoulders of the people. Now, Lord, I pray that You bring to remembrance things we've studied and meditated upon. And God, You'd help us, Lord, to preach with power and authority. God, would You please instruct us, God, to be more like You, to divorce ourselves, God, from what we think. And God, do it, Lord, the way You said to do it. Pray that You'd help us now. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the King James Authorized Bible. Amen. And an amen is a very powerful thing. Remember that. Amen. That's just a reminder of what I said before. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. But I want to look at this scripture here today and bring out what God's placed upon my heart and try to bring the thought out. And dealing with a prodigal. If you study your Bible, there's several things that God would let us see out of here of how dealing with a prodigal. And we'll read a few verses here. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine had eaten, no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? If there's anything that's always stood out to me about this passage of Scripture, is the first is the simple fact that the father never goes to the far country to reach the prodigal. He never goes to get him. Now, in our day and hour, most people would think that was cruel, very uncompassionate. And that's the way they would look at that. Amen. But may I say to you that after I've been preaching 22 years, been saved 22 years, and after all these years, I realize that there is a compassion that kills. And there is a compassion that some people have that kills them and kills others around them. Now, on the outset of the message, I want to say this, just lay a little bit of groundwork, is a simple fact that I believe a lot of prodigals are still in the far country because they have been petted and pampered so much that they keep them in the far country. Now, one thing that always bothers me is you see parents and how they do that, and it pulls them down and drains them down, and financially, spiritually, everything. And when it's all said and done, that prodigal is still as far away from God as he ever has been. Now, so God gives us a recipe here how to deal with prodigals. Now, as we look at this, you got to understand something about your Bible. If you're studying these verses in the first part of the chapter, in verses 3 down through verse number 7, you find in these passages that God deals with the lost sheep, and he deals with the lost coin. Now, when he deals with the lost sheep, the Bible said, if he lose one, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Then in verse number 8, the Bible said, and if either a woman having 10 pieces here, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it. Now you got to notice the sheep and the coin are lost. And you got to notice that God, that they always go after them. But you notice in the prodigal son that the father, in the change of the whole passage of Scripture, the prodigal son's father, that he never goes after the prodigal son. Now, this teaches us something. This teaches us that, first of all, that we should go after the lost. Amen. And that's what the Lord does. Amen. There's no lost man that's going to come, amen, to Christ. Some, you know, have a desire to be saved. Don't know what they're looking for. But God came to seek and to save that which was lost. But yet, amen, we have turned it around and we try to treat a prodigal like we would a lost person. And we spend all our time going after them and visiting them and doing this and doing that. Now, I personally, this is the way I do it. I want to show every bit of ounce of care that I can to them, amen. But you got to understand, this prodigal's father, when he gathered his substance together and took a journey to a far country, that I'm sure that father pleaded with that son in the house. He pleaded with him on the porch, and I can see as he walks down that pebbled path down to the gate in the front of the yard, he pleads with him. He says, son, please don't go to the far country. I love you. You're my boy. Don't go here. But there come a time when that son stepped out that gate that father drew a line on the ground, and he drew a line and he said, son, this is as far as I go. I do not go past this line. I'm not going to the far country. If you go to the far country, you're responsible for what you do. What you get in, the mess you get in, you are responsible for it, amen. And that's where a lot of parents and a lot of people mess up, is they don't stop at the gate of the yard. They go down the road after them. They go to the far country after them. They feel like they're going to do everything down there to try to win them and bring them back to God. But how many prodigals have you ever seen come back to the house that mom and daddy went to the far country after them? Amen. Now understand the context of the scripture. Amen. I know God can sovereignly lead somebody to go speak to somebody, but I'm talking about we see people when a prodigal goes off, they put their whole life into winning that prodigal instead of, and they do things that keeps them from reaching the bottom. Now, if you study the Bible, I believe one of the greatest things that could ever happen to a prodigal is to hit the bottom. The first thing have a financial trouble, mom and daddy run down there and bail them out. The first time something happens to their car, they go bail them out. Any troubles they have, they go bail them out. And what they do, they're softening and cushioning the bottom. They never hit the bottom, amen. And the only thing that can turn a prodigal around, in accordance to the Bible, is when he hits the bottom, amen. Amen, amen. So you should never soften the bottom. Amen. You should always let it be the bottom. Amen. 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 Is that not the truth? Amen. Now I know this seems it seems very uncruel. Seems very cruel. Excuse me. But it's not. And I believe that's why a lot of prodigals stay out there. That's why our children in this day and age don't appreciate nothing. Mom and daddy buy their cars. Mom and daddy buy their tires. They buy everything they have. They're 25, 30 years old and still pampered and petted. Don't know nothing about the responsibilities of life. They don't know nothing about what it is to work and labor and pay for something, amen. That's why they're spoiled. That's why they're out committing sin. That's why they live like the devil, amen. It's because illegitimate parents, amen, that ain't never taught their children responsibility and to be able to do something, amen. We've always bailed our children out, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I'm just going to preach, amen. Amen. But I'm just telling you today, that's the problem with our society, amen. Parents don't have no backbones no more. Amen. They don't have no stand about them. You know, everything ain't about little Johnny's compassion. And the Bible teaches us not to pay attention to their cry. Amen. But the principle is principle. Amen. And we've lost principle in this country. Amen. Why do you need to tell your children no every once in a while? It's the principle of it. To teach them that they ain't going to get everything they want in life. Amen. Some things is going to be a big fat block wall no in life, amen. And they got to learn that, and they don't know how to appreciate that, amen. Amen, amen. We was in a restaurant here a while back, I think it's Golden Corral, amen. And I seen a young man in there, and he's walking around looking like a clown, and he's tying up balloons. And ain't nothing wrong tying up balloons, but I thought, man, ain't that something to write home mom and tell her about, amen. Yeah, mom, I'm a clown at Golden Corral tying balloons, amen. I've really done something with my life, amen. Now don't get upset if you tie balloons, keep tying them, amen. I'm just telling you, mediocrity's killing us in this day and hour, amen. And may I say to you that the prodigal needs to understand where the bottom is. Amen. Yes, amen. Now we'll look at some other things. Amen. And the Bible said he took his journey to far country, wasted his substance with riotous living. There's some things he needs to realize. Amen. When he goes to the far country, one of the first things that he needs to realize is the distance that is put between him and his father. Now you see, when somebody goes to the far country with that prodigal, they never realize there's any distance between them and God and between them and the Father, amen. Now most children can go to the far country and mom and daddy's right on their skirt tails, amen. And they don't care. What's the difference in a far country? I'm getting to do everything I want to. Mom and daddy's still here. Hey, there's no distance between us, amen. But I'm telling you something, this prodigal here, the Bible says, he said, how many hired servants of my father's? Amen. He had bread enough to spare. And he said, I perish with hunger. And if you notice in the context of the scripture that the prodigal never one time acts like he's upset at the father for not going to the far country. You say, why is that? Because the father had enough integrity and he had enough character about him, and that son knew his father well enough that he knew he would not find him in the far country, that he would not back up, amen, that he would not go leave the house. He was going to stay right where he'd always been, amen. But you see, we, in our day and hour, the children can look around and there's mom and daddy too. Most parents I've seen that have prodigal children, they end up going to the world to try to get them, and they end up staying there too, amen. Amen, amen. Then they want to live like them. They want to act like them, amen. Then they get excited about the worldly things and participating in those things to try to win that prodigal. And the greatest thing you can ever do for a prodigal is to let them go. And I'm very aware of what I just said. I do not say that with any ounce of arrogance in my heart, because I've got 3 children and I think about it every day. Sometimes I sit in the car or sit somewhere and I look and I say, I wonder which one of mine's going to go. I wonder which one of mine I'll have to turn and stand for what's right. So what I say, I don't say arrogantly. But I'm telling you right now, I've got a family in the church right now. I'm not calling no names. Their son has been trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. They come to find out some of the reasons he's so mentally messed up. He's probably 19, 20 years old. And the reason he's so messed up is somewhere is where they were in the military and traveled around going to churches, that some, amen, Sunday school teacher, some man at church molested their boy when he was little. Now it's messed his mind up, and they have tried. He's the most strangest, and you don't know who he is, so I can say this freely. And his son, he has nothing to do with girls, has nothing to do with boys. He said, Daddy, I have no interest in nothing. He don't even know if he's a homosexual. He don't know if he's a normal person or nothing, because it's so warped his mind. His mom and daddy felt so bad about that, they paid for his college. Now, you're talking about people that's poor, amen. You're talking about people that barely have anything to live off of, and now they're getting extra debt, took on credit cards, sent him to college in Asheville. I get a phone call the other morning, early in the morning. They got to go down to Asheville. Said their son has tried heroin, amen, or LSD, one of those drugs, amen. He's overdosed. They had to rush him to the hospital. They're rushing down there, and the first time he tries it and everything, amen, and now he ain't paying his rent, he ain't paying nothing, amen, they can't do it no more, it's a mess, amen. And his father testified Wednesday, said, we've done everything we can do, and he's just in still as bad a shape now, if not worse than he was when we first started in this process, amen. I'm telling you something, I don't mean to be so blunt, but I'm telling you, I'm tired of sitting around and watching prodigals go to the far country, watching good people go to the far country, watch the name of Christ be run through the mud, lose the power of God, lose the touch of God, people struggling financially because they're trying to fund the far country, amen. And I'm telling you something, it's time we draw a line in this country. We become sympathetic to everything under the sun. I mean, they can do anything and we're sympathetic to it, amen. I'm telling you, I've gone to churches and kids got purple hair and 55 earrings and tattoos and body piercings and look like hippies and look like something off of Star Wars, amen. And I'm telling you something, God ain't 1,000 miles of it, and parents do it because they can't tell little Johnny no. I'm telling you something, your children are going to turn out to be a prodigal because you ain't never took a stand against what they're doing. It's called compassion. It kills. Your compassion to give your child everything will drive them to the far country, because if they can't get it here, they'll go there to get it. Amen. Here's something, Brother Jarvis, dear pastor. I asked myself this question. Where did the prodigal ever get introduced to the far country? How did he know there was a far country? How did he know what went on down there? How did he have a desire to go down there? Somewheres he had been introduced to the far country. I'm trying to get in the message. God knows what to do. Amen. I preach to our people. Then I said, I'm telling you, some people want to let their kids play at this little thing. And it's amazing anymore. Witches are supposed to be good. Barbie's a witch anymore, amen. That's the truth. She's got her sorcery and everything else. Is that not the truth, amen? And her witches and everything, amen. Boy, it'd be nice to get an amen right now. That'd be a powerful thing, amen. Witches ain't wearing black anymore in our movies and stuff, amen. It's a beautiful blonde-headed princess, amen, that don't have warts and everything else, and they've turned that witchcraft into something beautiful, amen. Here's what bothers me. If one little glimmer of the far country catches our children's eye, that's all it takes, amen, for one day the devil to go back and visit that little bit of glitter to draw them. And I'm telling you something, it makes me mad to know my children that I've waited my whole life to have and raise around the things of God, for the stinking sorry devil to take them to a far country and waste every bit of purity and every bit of integrity that I've ever put in them, amen. If you think this preacher's going to back up you, God, ain't another thing a coming, amen. I love those children too much, amen. I love them too much. That prodigal, he had to go to the far country. He had to reach the bottom because it had to put distance between him and his father. Number two, and the father didn't go to the far country because he wanted to distinguish that there was a difference between the far country and between the father's house. And what I see is that a lot of times there's no distinguishing characteristics between the two. I'm preaching what's on my heart tonight. He realized the difference between the father's house and the far country. He was hungry, but he knew that the father's hired servants had bread enough to spare. And he would have never seen this if the father had been catering to his needs down there in the far country. And I'm telling you something, prodigals need to see that there's a difference in being in God's will and being out of God's will. Being in the house of God and being out of the house of God. Why do we pray that God would judge them, God would deal with them, and show them there's a difference of being in the will of God and out of the will of God? But yet when it comes to a prodigal, dear pastor, what we want to do is make both countries look the same, and there's no reason for them to return because there's no difference between the two. If they're getting the blessings at the father's house, and then the father goes to the far country and gives them more blessings, why in the name of the Lord would he ever want to come back? Then the third thing was the dilemma. He realized the obstacles of just being away from the father. If the father had been there, he no doubt would have tried to divert his son from the obstacles which in all reality were the very things that caused the son to turn back towards the father's house. What does every parent, every person that's got a prodigal in their family do? They want to take away and divert all the hardships. They want to divert all the tough times. They want to divert all the things that causes them to turn. Amen. Amen. Is that not the truth? But I want to tell you something. Is the very dilemma that they get in that causes them to look back to the father's house. Amen. He would have never looked back. That's what he compared. He said, I'm perishing with hunger and they're up there being blessed. Amen. If he had been fed by the father, he could have never made that statement. But the father stood his ground. He stayed at the house, amen. It wasn't that he didn't love him. I'm telling you something, I believe with all my heart that a person that follows their child to the far country doesn't love them as much as the person that stays at home and keeps the home fires a-burning. I don't know who's got prodigal children. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. But I'm telling you something right now. Some of your loved ones may still be in the far country because you're funding it, amen. And you're financing it. Your compassion is keeping them in the far country, amen. And the only thing sometimes going to turn them is the bottom. It's a dilemma. In our society, we live in a sick society. If people are too lazy to work, I'm sorry. I preach the way I preach. Our government will fund them and pamper them. They don't want to work. They don't need to work. Amen. So nobody has to deal with any negative. Amen. I mean, it's amazing. Anything that could be hazardous, we want to divert it and keep any dilemma in anybody's life. Amen. It ain't going to happen that way. And that's what we do with prodigals. We eliminate the dilemmas that are in their lives, and we're keeping them in the far country because they don't know no difference. The church should be the church. She should never look like that world. You may tell you why people don't want to come to church anymore? Because out there is about the same as what it is most places in here. They see no climax. They see nothing different. They don't need what's in here, amen. They've got as much of that religious garb out there, amen, as they do what most churches has got. That's why we try to have a high standard. That's why we try to keep things above and holy and filled with purity so this world can get out of that mess and find a place of purity, amen. God help us in this day and hour. We're watering everything down. I was digging through my notes to find this, and I found a series of messages I preached on the doctrine of identification. And that's what's happening in our society. I preached a whole series on identification, amen. God started out, and we've lost our identity, amen. If the father had took the home to the far country, he had lost its identity. He had had no place to go.
Right. Right. Amen.
To be truthful with you, it confuses them. That's why most of them don't know where to go. Is because they're confused of what's right and what's wrong. Oh, I know I'm treading on touchy ground. But I'm telling you right now, I know what I'm talking about. I've seen prodigals, and I've seen prodigals' parents. And I've seen those parents go with the prodigals to try to save them. And do you know where the prodigals are at? Still in the far country. You know where the ones went after the prodigals are? They're about halfway between here and there. You say you're mean. No, I'm not. May I say to you that sometimes in the direction that he goes, it speaks, he realized what direction he needed to go. He came to himself and declared, I will arise. I will arise and go to my Father. He'll never realize what directions he's went in until he realizes what he's left. Have you ever thought about, I know this is simple, but you ever thought about that prodigal got down that far country? Amen. I'm telling you something right now. He did not realize the direction he had went until he got away from the Father and got farther and farther and farther and away from the Father. And he realized what direction he is going in, the wrong direction. Can you imagine if that prodigal's father was right at his side and went with him all the way down there? He would not have known any difference. Amen. And that's why the prodigal had to reach the bottom. The bottom's the only thing going to turn him around. There's a few things we'll look at here. The father did not, number one, he did not fund the far country. Amen. The Bible teaches clearly he gave him his living. That was the realm of things in that day and hour. They divided unto them his living. Have you ever thought about the living? You ever studied that? Do you understand that families back then was different? When he divided them his living, what he gave him, if he had managed it right, could have sustained him for the rest of his life and sustained his family and for generations to come. But because he did not use it right, he ended it right there. Amen. I've studied this, and do you understand that used to that families kept a fire going all the time? It's not like our dinner. Do you realize that flame had been handed down generation after generation after generation after generation, and it never went out? Amen. 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 That's what I'm talking about. We're living in a day now where this generation is letting the flame of the home fires go out. And this next generation is going to have nothing to live off of. Amen. 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 If I can do anything, I want to leave my children a little bit of flame behind. Amen. That they can build their lives and generations to come on. I prayed for generational salvation. My little boy, he got saved the other day. Did you get saved, son? I was off of preaching a meeting, giving my heart to another church, and coming home and late at night, and my wife called me and said, Ethan, got someone to tell you. And he got on the phone and said, Daddy, I got saved. Mama's singing around the house. He got a conviction, went to his bedroom and crying. Amen. He got saved in his bedroom. Amen. Amen. He said, I'm not a child of the devil no more. He said, I'm a child of the King. Amen. Amen. You give your life to God, God will save your family. Amen. Nor do I quit praying for generational salvation. But Brother Jarvis, I pray for generational service. I don't want it to die off with me. We see that at family gatherings. I'm sorry. You got the old generation that looks like Christians. Then you got this new generation that looks like a bunch of hippies. Amen. We're losing something in our generation. I'm tired of it. Now I'm tired of the one being pushed in the corner. I'm tired of the one having to be quiet and be shoved in the closet. Amen. We are not wrong. They're wrong. We're the ones that's right. Amen. 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 Now I'm giving you something priceless tonight, and that's my voice. I didn't preach Wednesday night. And I preached talking this morning. But I'm giving you everything I got tonight. I'm tired of it. You say, that's too close home. I'm sorry. What is this next generation going to have? What bothers me more than anything, I'm preaching three or four messages at one time. As you see mom and daddy look like respectable Christian church going people, and you see their kids, amen, I like what Brother Dwight Banks said it looked like they found a tackle box and come out of there, amen. Got stuff hanging everywhere. You know whose fault it is? It's mom and daddy's. Because they ain't got enough backbone, God and gall about them to say no and put their foot down. Amen. 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 Number one, the father did not fund the far country. You'd be surprised how many parents and siblings fund and send money to people in the far country. What's keeping them there? You know why they stay there longer than what they should? Because folks been funding it. That father never sent another dime down to the far country. Second thing is, the father did not flavor the far country. He didn't make it seem that it was not as bad as it really was. Ain't that amazing? Amen. Amen. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Your parents aren't, well, they're down here, but they're going to church. Amen. Amen. What kind of church? It's a Episcopalian Pentecostal church of God. Amen. 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 A Catholic church or something. Amen. They're going to church. That's all that matters. What they're trying to do is flavor it to make it not look so bad. Amen. That little Johnny's in the far country. He ain't right with God. You know why? It's a pride issue, amen. Mom and Dad, it feels like it makes them look bad. It makes you look like you failed at raising your children. Let me let you in on a big secret. In the Garden of Eden, about 6,000 years ago, God created two people named Adam and Eve. They were His children. And it wasn't very long after that that Adam and Eve got messed up with the devil. And guess what? They sinned and messed up and went in the far country, and they got every one of us in it. So if God had two children and went to the far country and messed up, what makes you think you're so better, amen, that your children ain't going to do it? The biggest, amen, that's right. Amen, amen. I wish I had more voice. The biggest problem with most parents is that are so prideful about it, Brother Jarvis. They're trying to cover up. They're saying, you're making Daddy look bad. You're making me. And that's all they worry about. You're defaming my name. You're making me look bad. It ain't about you, buddy. It's about the God of heaven that's looking bad. Amen. But the father stepped back and said, I will not go down there. I will not look like that. I will maintain my integrity and stay at the house and keep the home fires a burning. So you feel like a failure because your children don't do right. Wonder what God feels like. Let's get to reality here. You're not looking at a preacher going to preach off in left field and try to make everybody feel like there's something you can't live up to. This thing's a reality. You know what the greatest thing I ever learned is? Everybody's human. Everybody makes mistakes. We was driving down here and some car swerves over and our lane and everything. What do you think I do? Horn curse them and everything else? No. What did I say, honey? I said, that's all right, buddy. I said, we're all human. We all make mistakes. And it's a glad day in my life when I realize that everybody ain't perfect and everybody don't do everything right. We're all just a bunch of goms, amen, trying to save by the grace of God, trying to make it to heaven, amen. Amen. And the ground's level around the cross, amen. There's no big eyes and little U's. Who are we trying to make look good anyways? Do you know why most parents fund of our country? Because they're trying to make themselves not look so bad. Well, they went down there to get them a job. I know they left church. I know they quit going to church. But they went over there to get them a job. It's okay. They're trying to make it good for their family. I want to tell you, the greatest thing you can ever do is be in the will of God in the house of God. Praise the Lord. I know it's not popular preaching, but it is truthful preaching. Number three, the father did not fund it, the father did not flavor it, and the father did not show favor in the far country. He didn't show favor. He'd been showing favor if he'd been catering to that other son. See, what happens is that sometimes when that son goes to that far country, we show him all the favor. Amen. And I'm kind of like some preachers about this prodigal. They say that never left the house. That younger, the older son has stayed home. Maybe he had a right to be upset. Maybe he had a right to be angry. He said, all years I've served you, I've did everything and I've done everything. You've never done anything for me. You know, I'm just reading between the lines. Just think about it a little bit, amen. And I'm telling you something right now. You'll end up showing favor, but the father never favored that prodigal in the far country. Listen to me. And number four, the father did not fantasize the far country. Boy, a lot of parents fantasize that far country. Many may say that the father did not love the prodigal, but in verse 12, the Bible said he divided his living with them. And when the prodigal returned home, he favored and gave to the son. But the father never did this while the son was in the far country. He never visited, he never petted, he never catered, he never condoned the son in the far country. Never paid for his cell phone bill, never paid for his car payment. He never did nothing. He let him go down there. You left on your own, you're going to live on your own. That's a hard thing to do. Now, my mom and daddy did something for me I don't recommend anybody do. When I first got saved, one of the greatest battles I ever had is after I got saved. Because then I realized I had a battle. And some of the meanest things and hatefulest things. And y'all just don't know me very well. Amen. But I'm going to tell you a few little things. Well, after I got saved, there's such a battle. That old devil would come back and want to get in, but he can't get in. And there'd be such a battle raging in my mind. I've held my mother down the bed, my knees on her shoulders, and bust my fist through the walls of the trailer out into the side of the trailer, bust the windows out. And I'm telling you, I'm talking about attacks of influences of demons. I know what I'm talking about. You listen to this preacher. The old Luan doors, I'm not saying this to any masculinity. But dear brother, I've stood before them and going in such a rage that I beat the door till I fell through the door and the door still closed. With exhaustion and blood from one end to mother me. And such that I had so many demons about me when I first got saved. My mom would call. And I remember Brother Chris Norris and other men come to my house. They wanted somebody to help me. And I'm telling you something right now. The devil put up a great fight when he saved this old boy. One day I went home and my mom and daddy packed all my stuff. And moved me down to a little old house in Horseshoe. $200 a month rent into the black snake den. That's where I lived. And I'm telling you, they moved me in there at 18 years old, set me out, threw my stuff out, left me sitting there. And I'm telling you, Brother Jarvis, and they left that night. I realized there's something going on. Something was different. And it broke my heart. And I lived on my own from the time I was 18 to the time I got married, 24, 25 years old. And I know what it's like to make $8 an hour, pay for a truck payment, pay for insurance, go to Bible college, pay rent, pay insurance, have nothing to eat in the house. And I know what it's like, come on, my daddy, leave me two things of groceries on the porch, be sardines and be vienna's and crackers, amen. Amen, a bachelor's food, amen. Amen. Say, preacher, why do you say that? Sometimes we soften everything. And we don't ever realize, we teach this generation, that there's no ouches and there's no hurts in life. Do you understand that many times your presence means approval? That's one statement God gave me that I believe is one of the most powerful things people do not understand. Presence means approval. That father in the far country with that son meant that he approved of what he is doing. The only way he could show him disapproval, dear pastor, was to stay at the house. Note that it was the continuation and the welfare of the father's house that gripped the son's heart. It was not his compassion. The son didn't say, my father's compassionate. He didn't say, my father loves me. But he said, my father's never missed a beat. And the servants still have bread. And I'm starving to death. This is not the life for me. That's the life for me. The problem with prodigals in our day and hour is they've never realized that there's a difference between the Father's house and the far country. The Father, he did do some things. Number one, he stayed home. For the son to go to the Father, he must have known exactly where the Father was. He knew the father was not in the far country, but he was right where he left him. Have you ever thought about that? Now just think about that scripture. How did the son still know that the father was right where he left him? Because he knew that he is a man of integrity. And he said, I shall not be moved. Do you know why a lot of prodigals never come home? You listen to this 40-year-old preacher. Because he had nowhere to go that was called home anymore. When that father went to the far country, if he had been in the far country with him, the home place would have went downhill, would never been the same. And he had had no place to go. No place to go called home. There is no place like home. You know what makes a dog walk clear across the United States and be able to go back home? Because he knows there's no place like home. And you know why prodigals don't come home? Because we've made home everywhere. And we've got to keep a distinguish between the father's house and the far country. He stayed at home. Number two, he taught the son when he was at home. How did that son know that the father would forgive him? How did that son know that he would accept his forgiveness? Let me tell you something I learned years ago. You know how he knew? Because he had seen his father forgive somebody else, and he had seen his father restore them. He had to have been taught that. Proverbs teaches us that. To train up a child in the way it should go, and when it's old, it shall not depart from it. Amen. And that son knew by the character of that father that if he could just get back home, he knew his father would restore him. Most prodigals, if they went back home, they'd have to get right with God. Mom and daddy'd have to get right with God. The whole family'd have to get right with God before everybody could get everything back in order. Am I not telling the truth? Would somebody just say amen? Do you really want your prodigal to come back? One of the hardest things you can ever do is to learn to let go. One of the hardest things I've ever done in my life is that night, it's been a little over a year, that my wife had that first incident and had that first little stroke. When they moved her out of there at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, put her on that medic back helicopter and had to stay back. That's my wife. And I had to step back and they take her away from me and put distance. And I seen them get in that helicopter and I seen them run the props up. And I seen that helicopter start to lift off and that jet engine. And I seen them wheel that thing around and pull out. I realize how helpless I really am. And that it's not in my hands. On the way down, my wife says, "Honey, if I have nod or go to sleep, you wake me up because I'm going to try to keep you awake." How much sense does that make? Our lives are in the hands of God. And I'm telling you something right now, that prodigal ain't going to come home because of everything you do. You're going to have to turn them over to God and let God handle it, let them hit the bottom before they ever come home. He never come home because of compassion. He never come home because anybody visited him. I'm sorry, he come home for one reason only, because he hit the bottom. That's the only reason he come home. He was sick of being where he was. He wanted what he used to have. Amen. May I say to you, he taught the son, amen, he taught the son when he was at home, amen. All the training of a child does not consist in just dealing with distance, but also deals with, amen, direction. We teach our children, amen, keep yourself from the world, keep away, keep distance and everything. Why don't we teach them a little bit of direction? Here's what I'm sorry, Pastor didn't give me no time limit, amen. It's still daylight, amen. But I'm telling you something, our children, we have taught them, amen, a child has energy, a child has zeal about them, and we've tried to subdue that from the world, and we try to keep all that built up. And what happens to our children? They've been taught that spirituality is boring and that it's penalizing them, amen. And we don't take that energy, amen. We teach them distance, but we don't ever teach them direction, how to take that energy and put it into God, serving God, doing things, amen. It ain't all about distance between the world. Sometimes it's about direction. The father taught him distance because he didn't go. But how did he teach him direction? Because he stayed home. Dear Lord, I never seen that. The only way he knew which way to go is where the father stayed, and he was giving him directions by what he lived by. Amen. You want to bring your family back? Give them some directions. Just keep the home fires burning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm enjoying myself. Amen. 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 I might take myself up an offering and just give to me. Amen. Whew. Amen. Be Pentecostal tonight. When is it right to embrace a prodigal? If you notice from the context of our scripture that the Father never embraced that prodigal until he come back home. Even though it broke the father's heart, he never went after the son in the far country. But when the son changed his direction and made his way back to the father ran to him. He did not embrace him until then. That's a hard thing to swallow, ain't it? I'm talking about those little babies that, you remember when he was born, changed their first diaper, you rocked them. I mean, all the memories you have of that child. And to know the only way you're going to bring them home is to let them go. Here's what's happened in our prodigals. We're treating prodigals like we would treat a lost person. We're going after them, we're going after them, we're going after them, we're going after them. Do you know why we're not seeing people saved? Because we're spending all our time trying to win prodigals that'll never be won until they get to the bottom. And I, in the little booklet I wrote here, and we'll try to get together and get something done about this. But I'll never forget a man I was preaching at the church, and the man's name was Preacher. They called him Red. That's what he called him. And he was laying on his deathbed crying. He knew he was going to die in there too. He's just very sick and he's crying. And they said, Red, I said, why are you crying? And he looked at him and he said, I wished I had not wasted my life on backslidden church members. And I would have put more effort into trying to win the lost to God. Does not the Bible teach us that the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib? Does God not teach us that that son knows where the house is?
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right. Amen.
That father never embraced him till there was a change of direction. Number two, that father never embraced him till there was a change of heart. The son confessed. He said, I have sinned. It was not the father that sinned by not going to the far country, but it was the son that sinned. Here's what people do. They turn this thing around, Brother Jarvis, and they may look like the father is the cruel one in the situation. We just had a family the other day. The husband got saved. The wife said she's saved. Four kids joined the church. Their mother goes to the church, doing real good. All of a sudden, she gets her job at his cleaning business. All of a sudden, jewelry starts going missing at these rental cabins. Going to find out that lady in the church, amen, sings in the choir, has been stealing bangle bracelets, expensive bracelets, taking them, have them melted down, selling them, and everything else. And no doubt, I ain't no telling what's going on there and everything. And her mom and daddy would not go bail her out. They called me, wanted me to go sign a bail bond and let her out, and I said I can't do it, and her mom and daddy wouldn't do it. And you know who they're mad at now? It ain't they're not mad at themselves for stealing. Amen. They're not mad that they're facing felony charges. They're mad at us because we didn't run down there and bail them out. Amen. The greatest love I could ever show them is to stand my ground, keep the home fires a burning, that when they do hit bottom, they do get right with God. They moved away now, left the church. The only thing I know to do is I'm gonna keep the home fires a burning. I'm going to keep the fatted calf fat. And one of these blessed days, they'll hit bottom. They'll know where we're at. They know where we're standing. They know we're still up there in the mountains of preaching. Amen. Amen. We're still having church on Sunday night. Amen. The choir's still singing. We're still trying to do what's right. Amen. They need somewhere to go. But if you're in a far country chasing them, they ain't got nowhere to go. Boy, I love preaching. I just love to run down and sit in the pew and scream, amen. Preaching about to lose his voice. Amen. That's a valuable thing. The Bible said, withhold not correction from thy child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. When you do not go with them, it is a rod of correction. It speaks volumes. I am not with you. I do not approve of what you're doing. If you fund it, you approve of it. You're keeping them there. Your compassion is killing your prodigals. I wonder how many would be home today. I mean, I wonder how many would come home this service if we'd quit funding it. I wonder how many would be in the choir. I wonder how many would be at visitation on Saturday. I wonder how many would be saying amen tonight if our compassion, because we're Christians and we've got to condone and pet everything on the earth. That's the sickest thing I've ever heard. Amen. We've lost our identity. Amen. We got to treat everybody the same. The homosexuals, everything. We love their soul, but we got to keep it as things as it is there that we hate the sin. Amen. Oh, I know that'll land me in jail. It made my throat to get a rest. He said, for this my son was dead. Do you know how the father treated his son? Like a dead man. This is how I handle when people leave the church. I might make one or two phone calls. But after that, they're a dead man to me. You know why? I can't get pulled down to the far country. I've got to keep the calf fatted for them. I've got to keep the fire going for them. I've got to stay close to God. If you think I could go to the far country and get some people that went there, I'd go get them. But I can't. I've got to keep the fire burning. Somebody's got to keep the calf fatted. Day by day, they got to feed the calf. Do you know what Welcome Baptist Church needs to do? You just need to feed the calf tonight. You need to bring some wood up here and put on the fire. Make the smoke so big, the bread roll out, the calf, man, waddles around like a sick duck. Amen. I'm telling you something, people hear about it. I preached a message out of here on the goodness of God. Just compare. Amen. Just look at the livestock. Amen. The prodigal's down there feeding hogs. He's feeding them. And back at the, amen. What a blessing. Why, he's feeding the hogs for the devil. The father still at the house, fatten the calf for his return. Amen. You talking about love and providence. Amen. Some people in this community to find out that Welcome Baptist Church is fattening the calf for them, expecting them to come home. They'll get sick of feeding those hogs, and they'll come home and celebrate. Amen. Strong's Corner says that dead means destitute of life that is devoted to God. This father saw and treated him as a dead man. You cannot help a dead man. You can't direct a dead man. You can't do nothing for a dead man. Then he says he's alive again. Now he could help him, love him, and restore him. Amen. When he's a dead man, he treated him like a dead man. But when he said he's alive again, he took everything that had been stored up and now he instills it in him. What are you saying, preacher? The way we're treating prodigals, we're trying to get a dead man to come back to church. We're trying to get a dead man to do right. You'll never get a dead man to do right. He's got to come to himself and come back to the Father. He's got to walk that long, dusty road back. Yes, sir. If you're saying about this context, that father ran and met him outside, and met him at the gate because they would have stoned him. And he met him at the gate to keep him from stoning. I preach another message out of this passage of Scripture on stolen identity. When that father gave him his goods, and that son took on the father's identity. When he went down to the far country, everybody had. Have you ever noticed that? When the prodigal spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. His riches was what keeping the far country a-going. But when he lost that riches, he lost his identity. You know what that father did when he come back? His son come back with hog, mess all over him, rags, and everything the world had. And the Bible said he ran and fell on his neck and he said, I don't want you to see my son like he was. Amen. He said, hey, he's lost his identity. And when they seen the son, all they seen was a father. Amen. He lost his identity. And what I'm saying is, when that prodigal goes to the far country, amen, he loses his identity. But when that father come back and he fell on his neck, he covered him over. Is that not right? He covered his son. He said, I don't want you to see him like this. He said, when you see him, won't you see me? And he said, hurry, go get me the robe, the ring, and the shoes. Amen. Put those on. You know why? Those were the father's. He'd already give the son his portion. Those had to be the father's. Amen. And I know what he did there was, he was letting that son be identified again as his son. Amen. This is my son here. Amen. The father goes on to say that he was lost. According to Strong's, lost means to render useless. You cannot express love to something that is lost. Only after it is found can you express love to it. You don't believe that? How could God express His love to us? And at first we got saved. Where I once was blind, I now see. Amen, amen. Now what does God do? He expresses His love to us. Amen. We're saying, I can't forget the day God saved me. God bless our heart. God just expressing to us how much He loves us. Amen. Amen. You can't express love to somebody that's lost. Many cause more harm to a prodigal by making the far country seem like home by their selfish compassion. Keep the distinction between the Father's house and the far country, so that when they do hit bottom, they will know they have a place to go and to call home. I'm afraid many are still in the far country and will stay there until those who love them draw a line, stop bailing them out. This will allow them to hit the bottom, look to the Father, and come home. We cannot make them come back. If we could, there would be multitudes that I would bring back myself. But when they come back, they will come back on their own free will. I don't care what anybody says. I believe man's a free moral agent. You'll come back, and a prodigal come back because they will it. I'm just reading you some of the statements out of the book. In closing, please let us not confuse our prodigals by catering to them. May they be the very thing that catering them. It may be the very thing that is holding them there. Give them to God. Let them get to the bottom. And the only way they can go is up. Amen. Can't you see most parents and people with prodigals? All that kindness and compassion are doing everything they can to keep them from hitting bottom. Yeah. That dear man in the church tonight said, he said, I'm afraid my son's going to hit bottom and make some foolish decisions. Yeah. Folk, I'm telling you right now, just bathe, have that bottom cushioned in prayer. And when they hit bottom, they'll look to God. In the book I say, in no way am I saying to stop loving them. Don't ever quit loving those prodigals. But I tell you what you do. You just store that love up. And when they do come back, you just pour it all out on them. Amen. And in the book I wrote, somebody's going to stay home and keep the calf fatted. Let me tell you why prodigals ain't coming home. And I believe I'm right. There's a difference in dealing with a prodigal and dealing with a lost person. You're to go to a lost person. But a person that's not right with God has to come back. Amen. Is that not right? Amen. I believe that with all my heart. May God help us. I really don't want to quit. I don't know what to say. I don't know who's got prodigals in here. I don't know if you've got a prodigal son and prodigal daughter. I don't know if there's prodigal church members. We've got some right now that I feel like with all my heart, good people, still good to us, love us. And I feel with all my heart they're not where they should be in their prodigals. My prayer is, God, bring them home. Do you think I petted it? Do you think I pampered them? I made an honest effort to show them that I care. Then there comes a time you have to draw a line and say, this is as far as I can go. I'm not going no farther. Amen. Amen. They know we love them. They know we care about them. They know we're there. But it's going to have to take the bottom to get them to turn back. Amen. Let me tell you why a lot of pastors are about stir crazy. Because they won't let go. They feel like it's their responsibility to bring them all back. And parents, just like the pastor said, is the same way. And it's absolutely sending you to your grave. You're doing things you never dreamed you'd do. Here's what I've seen. These prodigals, Miss Kelly, put pressure on the parents. If you love me, you'd do this with me. If you love me, you'd let me do this. And their love, they're confused. They say, I don't want to hurt my child no more, so I won't say nothing about anything they're doing. I don't know everything there is about parenting. But I want to draw the line where they're young. And they know where I stand. And they know what's acceptable and what ain't acceptable. God help us to learn when it's right to embrace the prodigal. Let's stand their feet, head bowed, eyes closed. Maybe there's a bunch of you know people as prodigals. You know people's left this church as prodigals. Hey, why do we put on a show like everything's okay sometimes? Why don't we just get in this altar tonight and really pray? God would help us to keep the fatted calf fat and keep the home fires burning. They may be somebody God's burning on your heart. Boy, you've thought about them. Boy, you miss them. You love them. Maybe you just want to get in this altar with every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you just like to get in this altar and bathe them in prayer. Maybe there's a mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa. You've got a child. You've got some of us went to the far country. They're living in sin, living in drugs, living in alcohol. You never dreamed your child, your family member, you never dreamed they'd be in the shape they're in, be in the mess they're in. Why don't you get in this altar and pray for them? Build a fire. Amen. Keep the fatty calf fatty. Most people, it depresses them, pulls them down. They quit and back up. And that prodigal has no reason to get right. It was how good the Father's house was doing was what drawed them to come back to the Father's house. The continuation. He said, they're still going, and I've hit bottom. Try to be mean in any way, shape, form, or fashion tonight. But I've tried to be truthful. We're losing a generation. I've never seen such a generation with their gothic look, the sensuality, the love of Mother Earth, the love of nature. Our children are wrapped up in this garbage. Let me ask you something. Where are they getting introduced to this at? Makes me think about a message I preached several years ago. I preached the thought on there's a lion on the loose. If I was to tell you that there's a lion loose in Union, South Carolina, I wonder how panicky everybody would be. The Bible says the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's a lion on the loose. He wants your little boy. He wants your little girl. He wants to take them to Moab. He wants to rob them of their purity. He wants to chew them up, spit them out, send them back home with, amen, tattoos on one end and the other and ear piercings and everything in the world. He wants them like that. And we said, oh, it's not going to happen to me. Yes, 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 it will. What a greater place, amen, to get some glory than to pick some little kids off a church pew, amen. I'm sorry, Brother Jarvis, it gets in my crawl. Why ain't somebody preaching, crying aloud? Won't these parents wake up, amen? You Sunday school teachers, get God on you. Put something in those kids, amen, amen. Some reason, the desire and the pull of the far country was stronger than what was in the Father's house. Go ahead and neglect your children. Go ahead and let this world lure you. Go ahead and let your job consume all your time. They'll find attention somewhere else. And you'll find your child a prodigal. And you'll be filled with guilt of all the neglect you've done for them. And you'll try to cushion everything you can in the far country to try to make it up to them. And all you do is drive them farther south. I'm sorry, I'm sensitive. The Lord, God says quit, I quit. God says we're to chasten our children, whip them while there's hope. Be times. I'm going to tell you something with kids, there's a window of opportunity. And there comes a time in their life that window slowly begins to shut. And you and I as a parent lose any influence we have on their minds and their lives. Some of you parents should quit the rat race of life. Take out time and spend time with your kids. Come on, I'm going to say one more thing. I believe it's John R. Rice. I read in a book one time. There's this man come up to me and said, preacher, I need to talk to you. He said, I need to talk to you bad. I've got to, you know, one of those always having to talk to the pastor and worrying to death. And I believe his brother Rice, I can't remember for sure, but it'd be all right to use him just to make the illustration. And he said, I'm busy Monday and Tuesday. And he said, on Wednesday, I've got church and Thursday busy. He said, but on, and the man said, what about Friday? He said, no. He said, on Friday, I've got the most important thing to do in my life on Friday. And that man was so upset, and on Friday he said, I'm going to drive by his house and see what's so important that he can't spend time with me and talk to me about all my troubles. Drove by the preacher's house, looked in his yard, and there's the preacher playing in his yard with his kids, throwing a ball, running around the yard, laying in the grass like a heathen. He got up, I thought you was busy, preacher. You was too busy to have time for me today. He looked at him and said, I thought you were doing something important. Preacher looked at him with tears running down his eyes and said, I am doing the most important thing that I've done this week. I'm spending time with my kids. Is there anybody in here wish to God you'd spent more time with your kids? Loved them a little more, amen. Held them, amen. Cherish the moments, amen. God help us to make the Father's house a whole lot more brighter than the far country, amen. I feel like preaching again, amen. I feel a strong burden on me tonight in this service. God help us. What are you going to feel like when you get so old you can't do nothing to your kids? I know this is a worldly song, but I'm sorry. My family's lost before I got saved. Just like yours. But my daddy used to have a song. And I've sung it. Please don't take me wrong when I sing this. But when he's lost, this is my song. When you're coming home, daddy, don't you know when? We'll get together again. We'll have a good time, friend. Then the story went on. The father was singing the song. Son, won't you come over and have time with me? Why don't we get together and do things? Go ahead. I hate the consuming powers of this world. You better take out time for your family, church. Put on the brakes. Get out of this rat race. It'll drive you crazy. I'm trying to mind the Lord. Folks is weeping all over this building. Brother Jarvis, I preached this other day. I preached on a day of rest. God ordained the Sabbath. God carried it over into the Lord's day. A day of rest. I'm going to give you this. 6 days he worked. 6 days he's labored. 6 days he looked this way. Labor, 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 labor. But on that seventh day, God didn't rest because he's fatigued. God rested so he could reminisce. 6 days he looked this way. He took one day to look back at what he had accomplished and what he had done. In our society, we rest to none. Therefore, we never look how much we are not accomplishing. Sometime in your life, you're going to have to stop and take time to look at what we're actually doing in this life. Has anybody got their thinking cap on tonight? God's really putting some things in your heart. You're thinking about things. I'm turning over to Pastor. This preacher loves you, and I want to tell you, I thank you for letting me come back. That speaks volumes, amen. And I love you from the depths of my heart, or I wouldn't preach the way I do. God help us.